In the Megillah, we have the story of Haman, where Haman tells Achashverosh, Yesh noy am. Yesh noy am echot befuzer mefeirot. Chazal say, Yesh noy, it's a strange use of language. Yesh am echot, what means Yesh noy? Yesh noy can also be read as Yoshnu. It's a people that's asleep. In other words, Achashverosh and Haman were quite aware of history, and they're quite aware of the role that Jewish people played in history and the various periods of miracles where God saved the Jewish people from various powers and nations that tried to hurt the Jewish people. So they understood what place the Jewish people have within the scheme of creation. And they knew that to mess with the Jews is a little bit of a risky business. But what Haman was arguing, this is a time when Jews are unprotected and they're vulnerable because they're asleep. Hashem only protects them when they're awake. What means awake and sleep? Asleep means that when a person sleeps physically, your faculties and your functions are in a decline. A person can have, you have logic, you have seichel, you have your feelings, but they're very in a very primitive state. That's why a person can have in a dream while he sleeps a vision of something which doesn't make sense, contradictory. The order of what's important, you know, usually when a person is awake, seichel is more important than the feelings. Seichel gives guidance to all the other senses and faculties and functions of a person, right? Seichel analyzes whether something is good or bad or worth pursuing or not. But when you're in a dream, then the seichel is equal to all the other functions of the body and don't seem to see any superiority of seichel over everything else. Because seichel, during a sleep, a person's functions are in a very weak and superficial level. And their display is very marginal. So therefore, they're not in an orderly way. So that's the mashal for gullus. Gullus, when we say we're sleeping, it means we don't understand what to prioritize in life. If all our spiritual faculties would have been awake and alert, would have known that Torah and Mitzvot is the primary purpose of why a Jew came into existence, why a Jew is born, what's his purpose in life. Everything else is secondary. But when we lose our sense of priority, that means we're asleep. Our faculties, our spiritual faculties, are not functioning properly. They're in a state of decline. They're in a primitive state. That's why everything seems equal. And sometimes we even prioritize the wrong things. Same thing in heaven. It says that by Laila Ushnodah Shnas HaMelech, it says the king's sleep was interrupted. And we're told that this is the high point in the story. The Megillah says you should raise your voice. The one who reads the Megillah should raise his voice because this is where the main turning point in the story happens. That the king's sleep was interrupted, which is a little bit strange that this is the point of where the miracle is being announced or pronounced, when really it could have been pointed to other parts of the story much more easily. What's the meaning of it? The Nodar Shnas HaMelech, the king's sleep is interrupted. That is the highlight. That is the moment, the critical moment when things began to change, the miracle. This is the moment the miracle began to appear. So Chassidus says, because it says in the Medrash, who is the king here? It can be read in two ways. Achashverosh's sleep was interrupted. But also, it could also be read as the king of the universe, Hashem. That means that there was a state of sleep in the heavens. The fact that Jews were oppressed, and Haman and Haman had the opportunity and the ability to get the king to agree to annihilate Chas v'Shalom, the Jewish people. That means that the world was in a state where what's important within the scheme of creation was totally blurred, because the affairs of the world were at that time in a state of decline. And Hashem's conduct with the world was not in a way where Hashem is clearly involved and setting the record for what's right and what's wrong, what's important, what's less important. But it's as if HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself went to sleep, so to speak, and which caused the world to become chaotic, disorderly. The important things were suppressed. And the things that are evil and bad and should be marginalized played a primary role. So this is the meaning of Nodar Shnas HaMelech. So the concept of sleep is a major central metaphor in the Megillah. Both a week, when we are spiritually asleep, we cause in the heavens a state of sleep, a state of dormancy. And when we become awake, that's when Hashem says, I'm going to wake up too. We determine Hashem's conduct in the world. Now, it would seem that if that's what sleep means in a spiritual sense, that Hashem is not as involved, and therefore the world becomes chaotic, and the wrong elements begin to raise their ugly heads and run the show. And Hashem is not involved in setting the record straight. But Chassidus reveals a new insight into this darkness of Golus, which we call sleep in the Megillah. Sleep seems to be a state of absence, when all those faculties which usually govern and direct our affairs in everyday life are now in a state of withdrawal. But the Rebbe explains that on the other hand, there's a flip side to this. The other side of the coin is that the faculties are not just there in a state of withdrawal, they're in a state of elation. That means they are in a state of ascent. They're transcending. They're in a state of transcendence where they become subsumed in their natural source, which is the essence of the soul. When a person is asleep, what happens to his eyesight? You don't see the way you see when you're awake. You can't think the way you think when you're awake. What happens to the bulk of that force of logic or that force of eyesight, which is there so vividly and so pronounced when you're awake? What happens then while you sleep? Does it disappear? Just vanishes? No, it's there, but it goes back. It becomes, instead of being pronounced outwardly, it returns inwardly to its inner source, where it came from, where it emerged from. And this is, that means, in other words, these faculties that were, when a person is awake, are on the alert and clearly functioning on a very strong and high level, when they are returning to their essence, from their perspective, they're in a much stronger state now, because they are now closer to their source. All their strength, all their energy, all their power comes from the source. They emanate, they emerge from the source. When they're back in the context of their source, their essence, yes, it's true, they're not pronounced in the body, they're not pronounced through the consciousness of a person. That's why during the sleep, you don't have that sense of logic the way you had when you're awake. But nevertheless, from the perspective of these powers, these faculties, the way they are now, what state they're in now, they're in a much more elevated state than when they are outwardly oriented towards the body, you know, functioning on a high level, on a strong level. In other words, there's a dichotomy going on here. When a person is asleep, as far as the body is concerned, and the person's consciousness that goes with the body, there is a weakening of the strengths. There's a weakening of the faculties. It seems as if the faculties are not there, or they're there on a very marginal level. But from the perspective of the faculties themselves, they have actually risen to a much more powerful state. And the Rebbe says that the dark, when we look at this, to the darkness in the body, the weakening of faculties and this weakening of life forces in the body, that this is a result of those forces, those faculties ascending to a higher state of being, a more powerful state of being. We understand that the darkness is linked to something very lofty. The darkness is a direct cause by the ascent of those faculties to a higher context, the context of their essence. And that's how they exist in the body. They exist in the body from a transcendent point, from a much more powerful point. Yes, in the body, it results in darkness. The same thing it is with Hashem. When all those forces that are revealed during the Beis HaMikdash, we saw these great revelations and miracles and divine presence, and people were inspired with an incredible inspiration when they came to the Beis HaMikdash. Kishem Shebo Liros, Karbo Lirois, you saw, you felt, with every fiber of your being, Hashem's presence, it filled their hearts with awe and love for Hashem. These things are they're withdrawn during the time of Golus. We don't feel it. It's as if all these forces, all these lights have been withdrawn back to their source. But when they're back in their source, in the essence of Hashem, they're in a much higher state. And so their presence in the world is through the lens of this higher state that they're in. So on the one hand, the way it manifests itself in the world is darkness. But it's the darkness is the result of those energies and lights that were so vividly pronounced in the world when the Beis HaMikdash was here, is now functioning at a much higher state. And it's exactly because of that that down here we cannot perceive it. And we see darkness. What is Balayla Hu Nodesh HaSamel? Balayla Hu, on that night. It's a very strange expression. Why does it say on that night? What night? Why is that night different than other nights? According to the Pshat, we understand. It's talking about Achashverosh. That night, it was the night after the events that preceded that night when Esther invited Haman to the party. And Achashverosh began to think, what's going on? Why is Esther inviting Haman to the party? Is there something going on between them? They're plotting to kill me or something. So we understand why he couldn't sleep. But according to the Medrash interpretation, that Ablailo Nodesh HaZal is going about Hashem, that Hashem suddenly woke up, meaning that Hashem began to get involved in the world and set the record straight and save the Jewish people, show the world that the Jews have a mission and they are a light unto the nations and they need to play a primary role in creation. When that happened, why does he Balayla Ahu on that night? What is about that night different than other nights? Says no, Balayla Ahu means the ultimate of darkness. Lailo is darkness, night, and Ahu is he, Nista, the hidden, a third person, which means it's also hidden. When you say you, the person is in front of you, and say he, Ahu, which means he, that night, it's a double darkness. That means we're dealing with a time of such deep darkness that we call Balailo and Ahu. It's a darkness within a darkness. And then it is in the depth of that darkness, what caused the change in events, in the turn in events, is that the source of that darkness suddenly came to light. What is the source of that deepest darkness? Is that highest, loftiest state that all the forces of creation are now in, which caused darkness down here. But when that state, which causes the darkness, which is the essence of behind the darkness, is exposed inside the darkness, the true identity of the darkness is revealed, suddenly the darkness turns into something very powerful. And then there's the miracle of Purim. It's a very novel and a revolutionary way of looking at Golos and darkness and the resolution and dissolution of Golos and darkness, that the dissolution and the redemption is not an opposite force, another force. During the darkness, Chas v'Shalom, there's the absence of Hashem, the absence of light. Then comes Hashem and injects light into it, and then everything is resolved. No, that's not what's happening. During the darkness reigns and rules something much loftier than during the time of the Beis HaMikdash when things were openly displayed. Because there's something so deep, so lofty. Everything is ascending to a much higher state that down here, inevitably, it results in a dark situation. But the essence behind it is something very lofty. And this is about Laila Hu, in the depths of Laila Hu, is revealed in Nodesh HaSamelech.